Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
A young Cork woman waiting for a kidney transplant remains in limbo after her operation was suspended until further notice during the pandemic. Montanet woman Sally Nagel was scheduled to undergo a kidney transplant in Beaumont Hospital last month after her aunt stepped in as a donor. This would have been Sally's second transplant since 2008, following a diagnosis of kidney failure at 14 years of age, and the condition came about as a result of a rare bone disorder which she suffers from. And I want to talk to her now and find out exactly what's going on. And Sally Nagel joins me on the line, who's the chairperson of the Cork branch of the Irish Kidney Association. Sally, good afternoon to you.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, let's go back a little bit in the story, if we possibly can, all right? So, at 13 years of age, obviously a kidney transplant was needed at that early stage.
I got complete kidney failure, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, I'm not even going to try and pronounce what you suffer from. I skipped over to my script, okay? But I'll give it an attempt. It's idiopathic and multicentric osteolysis. Is that it?
Osteolysis. So you were very close.
All right, okay. Well, it's very difficult to pronounce some of these things.
I do apologise.
Okay, and how did that manifest itself at that young age? I mean, how did you notice that? Or what was the first sign of that?
I suppose my parents just noticed it, particularly when I was crawling and stuff. My wrists would have been very sore, so I would have been crying a lot. And I suppose that's how it kind of manifested at a very young age.
Like,
From baby.
Okay.
But I suppose it wasn't until I was five, after going to lots of hospitals and England and everything.
And would you have had brittle bones as well? Would you be susceptible to breaks and stuff like that at that age?
Luckily I wasn't. It's a hard tissue, so it's still quite firm. And
right, okay.
You know, but it's, I suppose I wouldn't have played, like, getting older, I wouldn't have been playing contact sports, or even now I wouldn't do things that would be too of high contact.
You wouldn't be putting yourself at risk, of course.
Yes, no, obviously, exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And okay. So, I mean, you had your second transplant, or this would have been your second transplant since 2008. And you must have been delighted, first of all, to get the news, obviously, that you were going to go ahead with this initially.
Totally. I mean, it was a long process. It was. For anyone that's been, this was kind of my first time really going through the live donation, because my first transplant through the deceased donation. So,
and fair play to your aunt, by the way, for stepping in.
I mean, for me, it's nothing for me. My aunt really was the one that, I suppose, stepped in, and it was a 10-month process, really, of a lot of testing and up and down to Dublin. And
people are knowing that we have a spare kidney. We can hand over to somebody else if they really
once,
need it.
Once they're healthy, and and I mean, obviously, there's a lot to it, and.
And how does that work,
by the way? A lot of the time, they're not matches, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. I was just going to ask you. So what are the chances, you know, in the general population, for example?
I mean, don't quote me fully, but I think it's maybe one in eight people that go forward for it that actually...
will match up.
Actually end up being fully a match, and that can actually go ahead with surgery.
So usually the best bet is usually a family member or somebody that's related to you, obviously.
Yeah, someone's related to you, really. And, I mean, it still doesn't mean that, you know, sometimes... their blood mightn't be the same, or, you know, there's a lot of factors. And then obviously as the tests go on, they're more intense tests, and it would be down to health and make sure that everything, they don't want to take any chances, basically, I suppose, with the person that's giving the organ as well.
I'm assuming now you're on dialysis at the moment. Are you on dialysis?
I am. So I'm in CUH in Cork three times a week. So I go three times a week.
Okay, that's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I suppose it's a lot on the system. You know, them days, really, you could say that I can't really do much else. Really, my energy after it would be very, you know, low. But I mean, on the other days, I'm good. And they're the days I try and
get things done. Yeah.
Yeah. But other
days, how long does dialysis take, by the way, Sally?
Well, I'm on the machine for 3 hours, but you could say 5 hours in total, because by the time I get there, it all takes time.
It's a huge imposition on your life. Now, I know it's something you're probably used to throughout your life, but and you kind of get used to it, having to do it to remain alive, essentially. But it is a huge imposition on somebody's life. And this would give you massive freedom, I suppose, once you get a kidney.
Oh, massive. I mean, at the moment, I'm not working. I mean, I'm doing a lot of voluntary work, as you said there in your introduction, that I'm doing. I'm chair this year for the first time for the Cork branch of the IKA. which obviously is close to my heart, and that's why I'm trying to promote it as much as possible.
You must have been delighted with the news, by the way, during the week. I was at last week or the week before when we were talking about the United Kingdom brought in this opt-out system rather than the opt-in system, and obviously that's been now discussed in Ireland as
Really good, No, and I hope it, you know, I'm sure it will. I'm sure the pandemic has probably stopped a lot of that. You know, it was kind of processing in Ireland as well, but I think it kind of probably has slowed down now.
Yeah, the conversation.
The talk about, but I'm sure it will come back.
It will come back. I hope all those are the conversations, because they're very important conversations happen again. But look, obviously, your operation was postponed.
Yes.
And have you been given a date, or is it just up in the air? Is it till further notice, or what have they said to you?
It's up in the air, really. I mean, I think they are, as we, everyone can see, they are starting things back up again in the country, and that does include surgeries and it does include transplants. But I suppose the nature of a live donation transplant is that it's two people involved and it is higher risk. So they haven't said when they're starting them one specifically back up.
But the irony of this whole thing was we cancelled a lot of routine surgery because of the pandemic. And then we ended up in a situation where the hospitals probably could have done a lot of this stuff, because really they weren't put under the pressure that we initially thought they were going to be under. The private hospitals were practically empty that we paid a huge amount of money for. So we probably could have done all these things.
I know. And I suppose, they didn't want to take... I don't know with other surgeries. I know with transplants, because of the nature of them and because of, I suppose, the amount of anti-rejection tablets you'd have to be on after the transplant, especially particularly just after the transplant, you're obviously at higher risk of catching infection.
Of course, because your immune system would be low,
Yeah, so I suppose in a way they probably didn't want to take that chance back when, you know, they didn't know, I suppose, how...
Yeah, of course, we were all a bit unsure,
would,
yeah.
Yeah,
What is the recovery? Well, I mean, Sally, when you get the operation, first of all, the physical recovery time, because obviously you're having surgery, is obviously a few weeks. But what's the actual recovery time? At what point are you... I suppose normal is a probably good word to use, that you can sit down, you can eat and drink and not have to worry about, you know, getting, you know, going to a hospital again. I mean, at what point are you considered to be okay that you can do or continue your life?
Yeah, I suppose the nature with the transplant is it transforms your life, but I suppose you'll always be, like, when I had my first transplant, every kind of 3 months I'd still go in and get my bloods done and make sure things are going okay. But it's not, you're not in every week like I would be in every couple of days now at the moment with the dialysis. So in that way, you know, I think once basically, I mean, they say kind of 6 months is when you'd be probably healed, but six weeks. But then I suppose whether you feel comfortable going back to work that quickly after a big surgery, as you were saying, I suppose it's down to the person, really. Some people heal very quickly, some people it takes that little bit longer.
And what's the risk of rejection? Is there a high risk of rejection? Because I remember a mate of mine years ago got a lung transplant, and I know lung transplant carries a huge high risk of rejection.
Yes, I suppose the lung is, again, because you're breathing in the air when you go outside, and, you know, obviously, again, infection. But, yes, I mean, there's always the chance of rejection. I think the chance with living donors is a little bit less than it would be with deceased, just because it's been matched up fairly well and, you know, they've really gone into detail in the testing. But with any kind of transplant, there's always, I suppose they'll always say, look, that's an outcome of it, and you have to be ready for that, I suppose, as well.
But with the kidney, because we've been doing, it's the most common form of transplant. We're kind of better at it, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the surgeons we have in Ireland are very good and have been doing it for a long time, you know, so they're well.
How many kidney transplants are there in Ireland every year, do you know?
It varies, you know. Obviously this year is going to be down because we've had 3 months where already transplants have not happened, and that was deceased and living. So, I mean, it varies every year. I'm not sure what last year's numbers were, but...
Okay. But it's a lot.
It is. Oh, no, it is. And I suppose kidneys would be obviously one of the highest.
The highest, of course. They're the most routine one, I suppose. Then you have heart surgeries and lungs and everything else. Okay, and nowadays we even have eye transplants.
Oh, God, every type of transplant, yeah.
And the important thing is, when we talk about transplants, there's people like you out there whose lives have been devastated and affected by the fact that you have to go for, you know, dialysis on a regular basis.
Yes,
And, you know, and a kidney can make such a difference to your life, but unfortunately there just isn't enough of them available.
Yeah.
And I suppose the Kidney Association are constantly saying, you know, we want people to carry donor cards. Hopefully we'll get to a point in the future where we change legislation where you won't have to carry a donor card.
Yeah, where it's more, yeah.
Yeah, so it's on your driver's license. When you apply for your driver's license, you tick the little box. But what other way, if somebody wants to, you know, who's, because it's something we don't think of doing, we probably said to, oh, sure, yeah, I'd love to do that, but we just never think of doing it.
Yeah,
so how do we make it easier for people? How do we, I mean, what can they do if they want to, today, listening to your story and want to help somebody like Sally and another Sally around the country who needs a kidney, how can they make that happen?
I suppose, I just say before that, I think the big thing is that they make sure that their wishes are known with their family or close friends. Because, you know, in the end, you know, and it's not an easy conversation to have, I know, because you're talking about, you know,
death,
the future and death and things that people don't like talking about. But at the same time, you know, people particularly now, they're at home a lot, they are around their family. It's a good time to just say, look, if something does happen, it's not that it's going to happen now, but in the future, this is my wish. And then, you know, it's more guaranteed that that wish will be carried through. Whereas if your family don't know about it, they might not follow through on that wish.
Okay, and if I want to sign up, okay, so your family knowing is really important. If you want to sign up yourself,
the Irish Kidney Association website is very good, and I suppose it's good because you can obviously sign up to be an organ donor and get your card, but you can also find out information if you want to know more before signing up, you know, about, I suppose, what it does for people and their stories. And
okay, so, and you can also free text, as far as I know, you can free text the word donor to 50050.
Yes, and that's a way of getting your card.
Yeah, 550, which is probably easier to remember.
Yeah, and so also there's a lot of people that have smartphones now, you can get the e-donor card as well.
Yeah,
which is, that's on your phone then, it's the same thing, you put in your next of kin and your own name and you know that.
And I think you can pick one up at your local pharmacy as well, you can pick a card up there as well.
Pharmacy, and even if they're not in your pharmacy, that's a good opportunity maybe to get onto the IK and that they can even supply them to that pharmacy, because we're trying to get them
out there,
of
course.
Yeah.
But the easy thing for anybody to do listening right now who wants to be a donor is to text, okay? So you can free text, just text the word donor, D-O-N-O-R, to 550. So just text the word donor to 550 and they will send you out then the necessary card or, you know, instructions as to what to do.
Yeah.
But look, I hope you get your operation very soon.
Thank you very much.
And I'm hopefully before Christmas anyway, or before the end of this
year. Fingers crossed,
Because the thought of having to go every second day into your, for your dialysis, oh my gosh, I don't know, but that must be like, it's just a huge imposition.
You know what, it'll be nice, and I'm sure other people that are waiting, it's nice, it would be nice to be able to go back and do some work and them kind of things that, you know, obviously other people are able to do, you know, so fingers crossed.
All right, listen, Sally, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Sally Nagle, who's the chairperson of the Cork branch of the Irish Kidney Association and in need of a kidney. Well, not in need, but she already has one. She just needs to get it put in. But just imagine the situation, if you were in that situation, that three times a week you had to go to a hospital literally for 5 hours just to have your dialysis. How life-changing that would be, you know, if you had somebody, a family member or somebody who passed away, or yourself indeed who passed away. Look, the kidney's not much use to you after you go, really, is it? I mean, I don't want to be blunt about it, but that's the truth. So please sign up for it, all right? It's 550. Just text the word donor to 550. That's all you have to do, all right? Or go to your local pharmacy or go onto the website of the Irish Kidney Association and you can be a donor. Hopefully we'll be changing legislation around that soon where you'll automatically be a donor unless you opt out.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.